Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul.
And I'm Steve Hunt. And today we'll be talking about Cyrano Theater Company's current production of the exciting two-man play about the artist Mark Rothko called Red.
And here to talk about it, we have the director, Elizabeth Ware, and Mark Robocoff, who plays one of the characters.
Great.
Hi, Jean,
here,
and hi, Steve.
Welcome. What's this play about?
We always start with the hard questions, don't we? It's about art and what compels us to create art. I think that sums it up in a nutshell, but it's also about a relationship between a master artist and sort of his apprentice, wouldn't you say? He kind of becomes
There's very much a teacher-student, student becomes the teacher theme that comes out. It's about a lot of things, art specifically, with a dash of commerce thrown in.
Yes.
Specifically, the play is about Mark Rothko, the abstract expressionist. The play takes place in 1959. The setting for the play is, and it's a very well-researched play. All of the facts in the play are real. But it takes place at a time when Mark Rothko has just received the highest commission ever paid to a commissioned artist for a set of murals to be placed in a very fancy new restaurant, which... the play takes place over the 2 years where he is working on these murals, and culminates in his visit to the restaurant just after it opens, with a bit of a surprise ending that I'm not sure if we should give away.
No, we're not giving away any endings. It's got to be a surprise. You got to come see it for yourself. It's also about red paint. A lot of red paint, and that probably was the biggest challenge because I have two of the most wonderful actors. I've got what a director calls a dream cast in Mark and Jaron Carlson.
You flatter.
Always, Mark. How do I ever get you to do shows? Flattery. But plus he's kind of good, as you will find out when you see this. But Jaron Carlson plays the young assistant. And I knew that these guys could deliver the characters and that they could get this rich language into their heads and out of their mouths, and I knew that was going to happen. But I think we all were very challenged with how we handle red paint, how we keep it from splashing on the audience, how we mix it every night, because you actually see Rothko mixing his paint. Back in 1959, he didn't go to Home Depot and buy himself a gallon of Bear. He had the powdered pigment, which is no longer even legal to sell in this country. He used eggs. So Mark gets to separate an egg every night. And actually, one night I saw that the white didn't cooperate, and you just ended up putting everything into the paint.
There's a good reason for that I'll explain to you later. This is my 15th production at Cyrano's. And I have never felt more connected to a character. This man is the man, and the character have such incredible depths that 2 weeks into the run, I feel like I still have so much more to explore here.
Yeah.
He's just an amazing personality, and I just hope I'm doing some justice to bring that obnoxious genius to life.
Yeah, he's not, you know, it would be very easy, and I think we talked about this early on in the process, just to play him as angry. But he's so passionate about what he does. And Mark has found that delicate balance between anger and passion. He has definite reason to become angry in places. But I think what really comes through is the passion and this amazing relationship that develops between these two men on an intellectual level, where finally this kid, who just seems starstruck at the beginning of the play, at the end of the 90 minutes, he has blossomed into this intellect that I think is equal to Rothko's. And it's marvelous to watch Jaron make that progression and to see Mark's character respond to it. And the pushback from the two of them is really magnificent.
Both characters have really fantastic arcs that they take, which is, I think, one of the reasons this play won 5 Tonys? 6?
Easily.
And speaking of Jaron Carlson, if you are at all familiar with Jaron's work and you like it, you will see a Jaron Carlson you have never seen before in this play. It is something that is jaw-dropping.
He's powerful.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests, Elizabeth Ware and director, and Mark Robocoff, who plays one of the two characters in the play Red, which is running at Cyrano's in Valdez next week and then back on the 30th, starting again on the 30th.
Well, Mark, let me ask you a question. You mentioned the character playing Mark Robocoff, Mark Rothko.
Mark Robocoff, Mark Rothko.
Same initials.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the passion of him. And can you describe his artwork somewhat for our radio audience?
Certainly,
in terms
yes.
of how it applies to your character.
Yeah, he definitely broke new ground, and he was one of those abstract expressionists that a great many people wrote off as a fraud or a scam, because at first glance his art is great blocks of colors, giant fuzzy rectangles of colors, and it takes the viewer time, which is actually discussed quite a bit in the play. It mm-hmm. takes the viewer time to absorb what is going on in those pictures, which is what Rothko calls them, pictures, before the art is really understood. Once you see some of his, you'll probably be familiar with the work. Like I said, very large murals, great rectangles of great blocks of colors that sort of seem to have depth. That's sort of one of his hallmarks.
And they also glow. They have this marvelous inner life about them. And if you ever see a Rothko in person, it's an experience you don't forget. I can stand for hours and just stare at these paintings, because they seem to take on a life of their own, even though they're very simple on the surface. But they're just magnificent. I've always been an admirer of Rothko's. Another thing I love about the play is that Rothko is very articulate about artists from history. And Mark has been doing the work of a graduate student in researching this character. He has been looking up. We talk about Caravaggio and Rembrandt and Matisse and Van Gogh and... Oh, good
and,
Lord,
and
how
Turner
many?
And Manet and Velasquez.
So Mark has gone and found representative paintings of all of these artists that are referenced in the play, and we have them on display at Cyrano's in the lobby, which makes the experience even more rich, because if you haven't seen these paintings in person, you can see prints of them on the walls so that you can kind of understand what Rothko is talking about. What's even more exciting is if you have seen these paintings. One of them that's referenced is in a church in Rome, which I stumbled on one time when I was in Rome with my husband, and we walked into this church, and there it was, up on the wall. And it's a painting that Rothko describes that had this inner glow, which Rothko found a way to do 400 years later in an abstract form. And so it's really magnificent the way it kind of plots out the development of art, of painting, over hundreds of years.
Rothko was nothing if not well-educated about his predecessors.
I've noticed that about many of the modern artists who people look at them and say, well, you know, my grandchild could do that.
But that's a line from the play.
Yes. But when you look at their history, Picasso, for example, and others, mm-hmm. you look at where they came from. Their artwork is not just something they threw on the wall, literally, something that came from their research of the art. So I'm glad to hear you say that.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Rothko's early works, he did portraits. He did still life things. He experimented with all kinds of things until he found what touched his soul. and also touched a lot of other people's souls, as it turned out.
And their pocketbooks, incidentally. I think a Rothko just sold at
75 million, I heard.
It was one of the biggest sales of 20th century art in history.
And what are you auctioning off a piece you're doing in the show for?
You know, it's specifically printed in the script that we can't do that, that anything that we create in the show has to be destroyed after the show. That's very specifically printed in the copyright.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. I have traveled a great deal, and I have seen all of these other artists that you're speaking of, mm-hmm. including Rothko. And yes, it takes a while, but you do walk into it and suddenly find yourself getting into it deeply.
Engulfed, I think, mm-hmm. is the best way of describing it for me.
It's also a play I've found more than any other, people coming back to me saying, you know, that play generated conversations 3, 4, 5 days later, 2 weeks later, where I was still talking about it. It really makes people think and talk, which is, I think, you know, a mark of some of the best theater.
And Liz, just one last question for you, just turning the tables on you a bit. You're famous for doing small cast shows as an actor, perhaps one-woman shows. I know a few that you've done.
I've done a few.
What's it like directing, in the 1 minute we have left, directing two actors rather than a large cast?
Oh, it was a pleasure. And I just got off of directing Sense and Sensibility at the university, which was a huge cast. The two guys I was working with here, it was a joy to go to rehearsal until we started dealing with the paint. Then I felt myself getting frustrated. But I love, there's more time to plumb the depths, to talk about things on an intellectual level, especially with the level of actors that I have in this cast. It's just been mind-blowing. And every time I see the play, I hear something new, which to me is the mark of a wonderful script.
Unfortunately, we're about out of time, and I really want to thank you for coming and talking about it so beautifully, because it made me really want to see it, which
good.
I will do. Thank you, Elizabeth Ware, director, and Mark Robichaux, actor.
Thank you.
Talking about Cyrano's production of Red. And now, here's a StageTac calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to the community calendar on alaskapublic.org. TBA presents Winnie the Pooh at APU's Grant Hall through the 19th. This is the last weekend. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 7 and Saturday and Sunday at 3. For info, call 677-PLAY or go to play@tbatheater.org.
Up in Wasilla, Valley Performing Arts is presenting Beverly Hillbillies, running through May the 26th. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sundays at 2. For tickets and information, call 373-0195. Or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
It's the last weekend to see Anchorage Community Theater's production of Nonsense, which runs through May 19th. Performances are Friday and Saturday evenings at 7 and Sunday at 3. Tickets are available at actalaska.org or call 868-4913.
The Alaska Academy of Fine Arts in Eagle River is presenting Charlotte's Web, running through May the 18th. Showtimes are 7 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays and 2 p.m. on Saturdays. For tickets and information, call 694-8909 or go to akfinearts.org.
A new play by Jack Dalton, The Last of His Kind, is in its last weekend at Out North. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 8, Sunday at 3. Tickets available at centertix.net or by calling 263-ARTS.
And finally, at Cyrano's, the play Red by John Logan is being presented, a play about art and the artist Mark Rothko. The play will take a short intermission next week as it travels to Valdez to perform at the Last Frontier Theater Conference, then back to Cyrano's when it performs May 30th through June 16th. Showtimes are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 3. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Steve Hunt.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.